Hello and welcome to Friends in Your Ears, a podcast where podcaster Kathy Campbell interviews podcasters about their favorite podcasts on a podcast. I am joined today by two incredible guests. I have with me today Nikki Groom and Pete Wright. Hello.
Hello.
Your intro is the best ever.
Thank you. Shout out to Anthony Johnson, who helped me pump up the extra podcast words in there. I had a couple in the first couple episodes, but he really like pushed it to the limit. So I love my intro so very much.
Totally works.
Yeah. Well, thank you. All right. So Nikki, if you can introduce yourself to our audience and let people know where they can find you on the internet.
Sure thing. My name is Nikki Groom, N-I-K-K-I-G-R-O-O-M. You can find me at Nikki Groom pretty much everywhere on social. My website is nikkigroom.com because I like to keep things simple. And I have a podcast called Movement Makers, which features in-depth conversations and unfiltered stories from successful business leaders. This sounds like a total promo here. And entrepreneurs who are making a difference on the planet. So that's been going for about 18 months, maybe almost 2 years now. And I just took a brief hiatus while I traveled to Australia and all kinds of other interesting places. Actually, probably none so interesting as Australia. And have a bunch of, oh, but I'm not from there originally. Everyone always thinks that. I say to everyone, my accent is messed up because I've been in the States for so long. I'm actually from England. And I have a bunch of episodes in production right now, which will start airing again in a week or so. So if you're a binge listener, now's your chance to get a head start before we start cranking out episodes again.
Oh, goody. And yes, this is legit promo time. So feel free to promote whatever you want. That's what this time is for. All right, Pete, what about you?
Oh, yes, my turn. Well, my name is Pete Wright, and I run a loose network of shows under the banner of rashpixel.fm. Right now, I produce 6 shows weekly with a few fun properties in development. I started podcasting back on June 6, 2006, 6606. And it's just sort of taken over my life. The shows that I do for me that aren't for clients, I do Taking Control, the ADHD podcast with Nikki Kinzer. I do the Next Real Film podcast with a group of folks all over the world who are part of that little sub-network. My partner there is Andy Nelson, and I think he's actually scheduled for this show, too, which I'm very excited about.
Yeah.
What's That Smell, which is a sometimes funny podcast about humans and their anxieties, which was a show that was inspired out of PodCon when I was there, I guess now it's a year and a half ago, with screenwriter Tom Metz. And we talk about our anxieties, and people write us in with their anxieties and share that they're scared of stuff. And it's a really fun and humanizing podcast that I deeply enjoy. So that's just some of my stuff.
Oh, Pete, I want to do some listening. You have some good podcasts there, it sounds like.
Well, I hope so. What I have found, especially What's That Smell, that people, they listen and then they'll write us and they'll say, thanks for giving me that anxiety that I never had.
So, that would totally happen to me, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a dangerous podcast. It may be the most dangerous podcast that you could listen to.
Oh, I like that claim. That should be your promo, your tagline.
Totally the most dangerous podcast.
Learn to be scared of everything, including things that you never knew were possible.
You'll never want a massage again. You will not want to walk up and down stairs that are exposed concrete. I'm telling you, and clowns. Clowns are the worst after you listen to this show. So I just, that's fair warning. So we're in the middle of season 2 right now.
Oh, thank you for the warning and for the heads up. Content warning, audience, content warning.
Yeah. I think there's no coincidence that you had a significant date in there with the numbers 666 in it.
It was meant to be.
Yes, this is inherited anxiety. That's what it is. It was written in destiny.
Oh, talking about the past a little bit more, Nikki, how did you start listening to podcasts? And what was the first ones that you listened to?
So I've been following, do you know Srinivas Rao from the Unmistakable Creative Podcast? He does kind of deeply personal, thought-provoking conversations with some of the world's leading thinkers and doers. He's all about the story. So it kind of actually doesn't really matter who you are as long as you have like a really amazing story. And I first connected with him and started following his work way back, maybe even before he started a podcast. When he first started, it was called Blogcast FM. And I remember him emailing about his podcast all the time, you know, emailing his subscribers and not having any real clue how to listen to it. I think that was before I discovered the joys of having an iPhone and was battling through life with some kind of Samsung brick, probably with one of those pull-up aerials so you could get a better signal. I'm just kidding. But around the same time, I worked with a client who basically raved about podcasting, and she taught me that podcasting, specifically for her at the time, iTunes or Apple Podcasts, by the way, this, now I'm paranoid about giving too much of, it sounds like I've been sponsored by Apple, but anyway, she taught me that podcasting gave you access to like a bajillion people who you would never have connected with before, and that really stuck with me. So that kind of leads into maybe why I started my own podcast later on. But in the meantime, how I started listening, I went on to upgrade my life and my phone. But it was really the Apple Podcast app, again, with the promo, that changed everything for me, because suddenly there was this quick and easy way to listen to a lot of the entrepreneurs and people that I deeply admired. And I just loved that it was sort of this alternative education that I could give myself and sort of this behind the scenes look into how other people were doing things so that I could take some notes and get some tips and tricks.
Absolutely. Well, and history has shown, not just on this podcast, but in actual history, that Apple Podcasts, by making it easier for people to download, because before you would have to get an RSS feed and manually load it onto your iPod or other music player to with downloading, and it was a very difficult process that you had to be somewhat technically minded in order to do successfully. And as soon as Apple Podcasts made it to where you could just search and click a button and it magically appeared, that is when things really exploded. So it's not just a promo, it's legit for reals.
I needed it to be broken down and made really simple. And actually, it's funny because even now I have friends who are like, oh wow, you know, you have a podcast, how do I listen to it? And I have to literally take their phone off them, take them through the steps, make sure they have access to the right app, and or, you know, an app where they can listen to it. But it's still amazing to me that a lot of people haven't even tapped into podcasts yet, which is kind of exciting because it's like this whole other world that you get to experience.
Absolutely.
People ask all the time, how do you get people to listen to podcasts? And you just described the best way to get people to listen to your podcast. You take their phone from them and make them listen to it. You lock them in a car with you and make them listen to it. Like, there are a number of ways. You're overthinking it when you think about SEO. Just take them and force them to listen to it. That's how you get people to listen to podcasts.
Oh, I love that.
Maybe get consent first before you steal their phones.
Always
but
consent
yes.
first. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Consensual hostage taking.
Yes, exactly.
Hashtag consensual podcasting.
Yeah.
Yeah. There we go.
All right, Pete, what about you? How did you find podcasts?
I guess it was, it was in the early 2000s. Has anybody mentioned Adam Curry on this show yet? I feel like I've listened to a lot of episodes and nobody has mentioned the Daily Source Code. And that was my introduction to podcasting, was listening to Adam Curry like panting his way around an airport in the Netherlands, trying to catch a plane and share his insights on technology. And I found that deeply invigorating and inspirational, because I looked at him with such a sense, and whatever you think of Adam Curry, and he's done some kind of crazy stuff, but I look at that show as a sign of great generosity of time and of just his awareness of the industry, and thought it was so powerful that he was just in my head. He was in my head, and I didn't have to really work for it. I didn't have to try to meet him. And then, you know, from there, I was, introduced to Leo Laporte and This Week in Tech. You know, I was from episode number one, and then, you know, Dignation, Kevin Rose, Alex Albrecht. Like, those shows I found, you know, they showcase for me that spirit of generosity, of personality, you know, that they were giving of themselves with no expectation of anything in return back then, right? It wasn't about monetizing. It wasn't so much about, you know, sponsorship. It was just, hey, this is a thing that we like, and we're gonna talk about it. And I thought that was a really powerful message, and I was hooked.
Absolutely. I feel like we're hitting a feeling of change in the podcasting world, where it's become more and more about how can I grow my audience? How can I make the most money, and that sort of thing. And yet I feel like we're still getting a strong essence of people that are doing a podcast because they love doing what they're doing. And you can still find a very strong following. You can find these people that are very passionate about what they're talking about, passionate about who they're talking with, all of these types of things, and not really caring as much necessarily about, oh, I got to hack the system to make sure I get the most whatever. And it will be really interesting to see how that changes in the coming years, as like reporting changes and maybe advertising and all sorts of these things on the business side of it change, and see, and hopefully we can keep the whole idea of talking passionately about what you want to talk about, and keeping that as raw and real as possible.
Totally. It really upsets me when I start thinking about, you know, the business, capital B business of podcasting, you know, it because I'm one of those like friends sitting around talking podcasters. You know, I really enjoy sharing stories and educating on, you know, whatever subjects we want to talk about. But those are the kinds of podcasts that really connect with me, the podcasts that connect with me because of the relationships I feel like I'm developing with the podcasters. And not necessarily what they talk. I could listen to them talk about, you know, like white bread and Twinkies for 45 minutes, and I would still be great with it because they're such good and generous people. And hearing how they relate to the world helps me relate to my own. So, you know, I was just looking on Twitter this morning, and Marco Arment posted a series of posts around, you know, Spotify, and I'm all about being in, you know, wherever people want to listen to podcasts, I want to be there. But, you know, Spotify is one of those networks that is kind of using podcasts to, you know, keep people in their walled garden without actually paying royalties for them. And that's gross. It's just gross. It's gross. And I don't like it. And, you know, we just got this complaint from a listener. We had our Spotify feed, one of our shows just stopped updating. And Spotify is so podcaster antagonistic. Like they just don't want to actually relate to podcasters. They just want to take your content and maybe they'll play it. They'll release it in their catalog. Maybe they'll decide not to. Maybe it'll just stop for no reason. They don't tell you anything about it. It's just it's podcaster hostile. And yet we're in this position of, you know, having to figure out, do we want to be there? Do we want to fix it now that it's gloriously broken? You know, maybe it's the best thing that could have happened to us. So I just all those conversations I find really gross.
Yeah. I totally.
I'm sorry. I'm ranting about Spotify. that was not my intent.
Hey, it's fine. We're not sponsored by Spotify, so feel free to talk about what you like.
right.
But are you sponsored by Apple? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, dude, I wish. That would be amazing. But no.
Maybe they will
can
now.
Can I tell you a funny story?
Yes, please.
I have an Apple story. Yeah. So this was back in 2002. And I don't mean to like Apple fanboy out here, but in 2002, I had just switched to a Mac, and they asked. They had this little thing on their software update page. This is, you know, pre-App Store. And they said, hey, have you recently switched to a Mac? We'd love to hear your story. And I wrote them this like 18-page treatise about my experience, what worked, what didn't, all that. And lo and behold, I get this call. And long story very short, they flew me out to Boston and put me on a commercial, an Apple commercial. So literally, there was a time where I feel like I was sponsored by Apple. Yeah, it was we were the first Switch campaign. Do you remember that? Like, you gotta get a Mac.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I will try and find that on YouTube and link it in the show notes for our audience.
It's there.
Best
I will
show
tell you,
note
you'll
ever.
Have to. You'll have to find I went under the company I was working for was not keen on giving me time off to go shill another company's products.
What?
So I took
Shocking.
Vacation and used my middle name. So it's Yeah, it was a long time ago, but it's, you know, I was on billboards, I was on buses.
Wow.
It was bananas. It was just bananas. So my assumption is this whole story will get cut because it's total nonsense. It doesn't relate to podcasts, but it was funny.
No, I don't think it will get cut because it's fun.
I don't know, though. I'm feeling pretty starstruck now. So
I don't really. Okay, Nikki, I can't go on. Deep breath. You can do this. I believe in you. Let's just move on to the next question. Nikki, what made you want to actually start making a podcast?
Okay, well, I'm rubbing my hands together with glee over here because I'm going to make Pete sick now. Well, I have to be honest, the value of podcasting for me has been because I'm a business owner. And so we'll get into all of that. But if you backtrack a little bit, actually, if you backtrack a lot, when I first went into my first job, actually, even before that, when I was kind of deciding what I wanted to do as a career when I was a teenager, I really wanted to be a journalist. And more specifically, I wanted to be a reporter. I never wanted to sit behind a desk. I wanted to be doing something different every day, meeting new people, getting the stories that mattered, and writing about them. And so I did a whole bunch of work experience with like my local radio station and regional newspapers. And even I worked for a while for a local cable TV station in my hometown, which was just really kind of farcical. I could go into that, but essentially at one point they were pretty short staffed. And so I was like anchoring the news and producing the news, and you'd watch a segment and then it'd be like me. And then it'd be me again. So it was a little low budget, but really fun as well. And I think from that, I learned that if you just ask the right questions, you could get gold out of people. So interviewing people, asking them about what was most important to them became sort of like this art that I was really fascinated with mastering. And so then I ended up in marketing, yada, 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 started my own business. And as I'd mentioned before, I had that client who told me all about podcasting, and I noticed that increasingly more and more people were doing podcasting. And then as a business owner, increasingly I was asked by the people if I'd come onto their shows and be interviewed. And I always admit to being pretty reactive when it comes to any PR. I feel like I need to be way more intentional about it, but great opportunities like this one just seem to land in my lap. And so people would say, hey, you know, will you come onto my podcast and talk about how you started your business or how you do this, how you do that? And I'd say, oh, yeah, sure, I'd be happy to. And I slowly discovered the joys of getting to talk about myself for a long period of time. I'm joking, but not really. And one of those people was Jessica Kupferman, who used to host a podcast called Lady Business Radio. And I recall talking to her about the fact that there really weren't that many women who had podcasts. And so I immediately kind of wanted to change that. But I also did a little bit of work for her. Again, she would tell me all about why podcasting was so amazing, and I would kind of write about it for her and create content for her. So this was all kind of soaking in, and I was percolating on it. And so long story short, I decided that, all right, I'm going to start a podcast. But then it did become a longer story because years went past. I didn't start it. I did a podcasting course, still didn't start my podcast. I did a podcasting mastermind, still didn't start my podcast. And I realized that for me, and actually I'm only just now, as I'm talking to you today, realizing this trend. Like, I didn't start listening to podcasts because it was too hard, so I got impatient and gave up. And I didn't start my own podcast because I couldn't figure out the tech piece. And I was like, I can't figure it out. Like, let's just put that to one side. Just always being so busy within my business as well, just never really making it a priority. And it was only when someone connected me with this really incredible podcast producer that I was like, all right, I don't need to figure out the tech piece now. I just get to do the fun stuff. I get to talk to people. I get to ask all these incredible people that I've met through online entrepreneurship. I get to talk to them about, you know, how they do what they do, and really get them to open up to me, because I feel like so much of entrepreneurship is about mindset. And so really kind of figuring out how they think about their work and how they set up their day and that kind of thing. And now I get to share those conversations and those people with others. So that's kind of the joy of it for me now. And to Pete's point about the whole business side of it, I have always wrestled with this as an online business owner, because you're supposed to blog about X, Y, and Z, and you're supposed to do this, and you're supposed to do that. And I have always really rebelled against all of that. Like, I hate writing a blog post about what I'm supposed to write a blog post about. I just want to write a blog post about what I feel inspired to write about. And that might be a conversation I have with someone, but I don't want to write a blog post that's like, here are the five reasons you should do X. I don't know. I'm just pulling these off the top of my head. And the same thing with podcasting. Like, people always say to me when I invite them onto my podcast, they're like, oh, you know, do you have certain questions that you ask? And I'm like, okay, well, I'll probably ask you to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your story. But otherwise, I really pride myself on them being very informal conversations and just kind of going with the flow and see, you know, I don't necessarily have a goal for each podcast. I just want people to feel inspired and, yeah, I want it to have that feel of just sitting around talking with someone. And it's interesting because, and I'm sure you've both found this as well, but you have different guests on, and so you can listen. I was just talking to someone earlier, actually. You can have some guests on and you can tell that me and the guest have this great connection and we're laughing and we're chatting and we're really getting into it. And then there are other guests where it's more like I'm asking a question, they're answering, and there's less of that what's the word? Rapport, I guess.
Yeah.
Totally. So I'm still, you know, my podcast is still really in the early days. So I'm still trying to master that and figure out how to really win at that. But I will say that in the beginning, I did, even though I was like, yeah, you know, this is just an informal conversation, because I was scared that I wouldn't think of something to ask, I would write out questions. And now, like, I do not write out questions, and I listen, I tune into what they're saying, and I really listen. And actually, I love the fact that it's audio only, because I think otherwise I'd be too distracted by what was going on the video. So it's audio only, so I really listen and I can really go deep with them because I'm paying attention to what they say, and I lead into my next question based on what they've said. And I just find that the conversations are so much richer because of that. I also, just to the business side as well, I get pitched a lot, and I'm really strict about it sounds kind of rigid about who I have on my podcast, because I don't just want anyone. Like, I really want those people who have kind of been, whether they knew it or not, mentors to me in terms of what they've been able to accomplish, how they conduct themselves in the business world, and yeah, just how they show up as leaders. So those are the people that I want onto my show, and maybe at some point I'll run out of those people, but I have a feeling that I won't, and then I'll just have any Tom, Dick, and Dick or Harry on. But I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either, because there's so many amazing people in the world, and there's always more that are coming into your knowledge base, like into your awareness. So yeah, I doubt you will ever run out of people. Kind of like for this show, I doubt I will ever run out of people, because there's always new and amazing podcasters to meet and invite on. And it's just, the hard part is scheduling and finding that matchmaking part of it. But finding the actual people themselves, not that difficult.
Yeah, and that is totally one of the joys of it as well, because when you think that you've found everyone or you've spoken to everyone, suddenly someone will say, oh, have you heard of so-and-so? You know, I didn't know Pete before now, so I'm so excited to go and listen to your shows, Pete. And it's
totally, it's
exactly how it works. It's like, wow, yeah, how did I not know that this person existed? And I'm so excited that now I know, and kind of takes you down a whole nother path and in a whole nother direction.
Exactly. Well, and I just have to say, I have to shout out here to Nikki, because speaking of the business side, like, I you know, the things that I complain about are the open versus closed nature of the back end of podcasting, right? And that's all super nerdy stuff. But I think what you do so well, Nikki, your show notes, your episode pages are amazing and rich. And I've been listening to your Selena Sue episode just this morning, and it's just, I learned so much just by scanning it on top of listening to it. It just is such a fantastic presentation. And I think you just get so much right there. And the conversation is just wonderful. It's exactly that kind of conversation that I think has a great impact, right? It shows you how people are impacting the world, how they are operating from the position of the world they want to create. And I find that deeply moving. So don't stop doing that.
Oh, well, thank you, Pete. I'm really touched that you said that. And it's so funny that you picked on, or not picked on, but you picked out the
Everybody loves picking on Selena Sue.
Well, so that particular episode, and I think I actually call it out at some point, that's the only time it's happened to me. And again, you can probably tell I'm the podcast hasn't been around for that long, but I got about halfway through and I thought, oh my goodness, we haven't been recording. And I had and she was in the middle of giving me the most articulate answer to a question. And I had to say, Selena, I'm going to have to stop you. I'm so sorry, but we're not recording. So I just was kicking myself because she's a consummate she's a real professional. Yeah. and she had all these, she was doing a big launch and she had all these answers ready to go, and she was doing such a fantastic job, and she was a really good sport about it, but we had to start again from the beginning. So then I was I hope it didn't come across, I was trying to kind of cram a lot into the limited time that we had left that day, but yeah, she was a good sport about it, so that was the main thing.
Not at all. And you're both pros. Don't even worry about it. Can't even tell.
Oh, thank you.
All right, Pete, what about you? What made you want to start not just a podcast, but an entire network?
Well, saying it like an entire network is way too generous about what I do. Like,
you're responsible for multiple podcasts, including podcasts that are not your own. Therefore, that's a network.
Okay. I mean, that's fair, but let's at least put quotes around network. That makes me feel better about it. I started in broadcasting too. At my first job out of college was television, and so I was a reporter and an anchor. My first anchor job was at it was a little public broadcasting house, and I just remember anchoring things like election night for our little civic elections, and halfway through the night, like my co-anchor and I would start changing, like swapping clothes. So like we'd cut to a commercial break and we'd be wearing each other's ties and eventually each other's blazers. And eventually we just had completely changed wardrobes between the two of us.
Oh my goodness.
And we're like telling stories about our new local, commissioner who is running on the Druid platform. Like what even is that? And so, that was just the kind of first job out of college I had. But so I worked in television for a little while and ended up in Denver. And after working in the Denver market, I just realized that I hated myself and my life and everything about it. So I moved into public relations and marketing. And so I spent a lot of years there and ended up working as a director of public relations in charge of new media. This was back when media was new. Do you remember that? Like, that's like a big deal. And so they would send me to these conventions and introduce me to these people who were like the godfathers of our, of our business of podcasts, like Doug Kay of IT Conversations. Like if you've ever used Levelator, like you owe that to Doug Kay and his company, and Robert Scoble, that super inspirational back when he was with, Channel 9 at Microsoft. And like, I bought drinks for the Ask a Ninja guys. Like that was probably the biggest highlight. Like I was a huge Ask a Ninja fan. And so I don't even know how many people even know what Ask a Ninja is right now, but I had the t-shirts and the everything. So it was fantastic. Then I saw this video of Kevin Rose interviewing Leo Laporte, and Leo was giving Kevin a tour of his first like Twit cottage office. And he just had this computer and he had a little mixer and his microphone and he had a little digital box for his radio shows. It was all on this little desk. And I thought, well, hell, if Leo Laporte can do it there and sound as good as he does, I think I can do that too. So I was working in higher ed at the time, and it was a very, very big institution, a for-profit institution. And I wanted this platform to tell students about the amazing people that teach them. I wanted to interview the other adjunct faculty about their day jobs. Like, what are they doing when they're not in the classroom. So I'm interviewing these people who are, you know, these psychologists who are working with these violent criminals and sex crimes, just like what their day job is horrible. It's like the worst thing you can imagine doing with your time. And these people do it. They're in politics. They're just fantastic stories of the day jobs of these faculty members. And we thought it would be great. It would be a great story for our student population to hear about. And then we got a letter to our attorneys at the institution from a patent troll. And they said, you are violating our patent of, delivering audio to, via some completely generic and ridiculous thing. And so the attorneys at the university, not knowing what podcasting was, said after 16 episodes, they said, yeah, we're done. You can't do this anymore. So the three of us who produced this show, we left and went to a bar and changed the name to Beer 30 Live and started doing a show ourselves. And that felt so good. I realized, I'm super jealous of the people that I was hiring at the time to, push buttons, to take pictures and make video and make podcasts. And I said, I'm going to do this myself. And so I quit to freelance. And that's kind of how I started, I started taking on contracts from other companies, small, medium-sized businesses who were looking for new ways to tell their story. And I was the podcast guy. And that's how I started developing these now long-running shows. The shows that I'm doing now are, 7-8 years running.
That takes a lot of dedication and is very impressive, that the length of time. I've had a couple podcasts where just they're done. You're finished.
Yeah.
And the exhaustion sets in and you're just like, no, I can't do this anymore. And you move on and find something else to do. And so the fact that you've been doing it for 8 years,
it's such a mess. And so RashPixel.fm, the website, this is the first time I've tried to bring all of the episodes that I've ever produced under the same banner, because since I've been doing it for clients, they all have their own properties, whatever those shows are. So I'm trying to have one place now where at least there's an entry for everything I've done. I've got like up to 2,400 episodes, I think, now and change across all the podcasts. Some of the podcasts are long gone and some of them are still going. But I feel like right around 2010, 11, I finally got it. And I fell out of I was able to climb out of the hole of, 1 to 2 year podcasts and figure out how to create a property that has real legs. And when I say that, not that people will listen to it, because I can just cross my fingers and hope, but legs in terms of us not getting super exhausted about producing it.
Right.
Because that has always been the thing that has gotten in the way first, is just we fall out of love with it. And so how do you not fall out of love with the thing that you're producing? And I have no, I'm under no, illusion that I won't fall out of love with these, what I'm doing right now, but I just haven't yet. And that feels pretty good.
That is pretty great. Yeah, I'm excited. And I hope that you continue to still be in love.
See, this is a love story.
It is a love story.
Aw.
This is so romantic.
All right. Speaking of romance, in a platonic manner, maybe we'll go with that. What is your favorite podcast and why do you love it so much?
It's so funny that you led in with that. Just as a complete side note, I had a conversation with some former coworkers the other day who live back in the UK, and discovered that there is actually a Nikki Groom who writes romance novels. and we were talking about it because the old CEO, well, he still is the CEO of this company that I used to work for, actually emailed me once and said, Nikki, I have to congratulate you. It's a big deal to write a book and, well done. I for a while, I just wanted to take the accolade. I just wanted to kind of sit with it and be like, yeah, it was no big deal. And in the end, I was forced to email back and be like, yeah, that's not me. So just in case anyone else Googled me and
that
was confused.
Awesome.
So my favorite podcast right now has actually nothing to do with business or entrepreneurship, even though those are the ones that I used to pretty much exclusively listen to. Has anyone heard of Crime Town?
Yeah.
So,
oh yes,
yes. So I live in Rhode Island, which is home of the Petrarca crime family, also known as the New England Mafia. And so, for those that don't know, this show basically unpacks. Each season they investigate the culture of crime in a different city, and the first season is all about Rhode Island. We used to have a mayor, Buddy C. Ansi, who was indicted in 2001 on federal crime charges of racketeering and conspiracy and extortion, witness tampering, mail fraud, you name it. And he was actually found guilty of racketeering, conspiracy, and running a corrupt criminal enterprise. And then he actually went for, once he got out, he went for re-election not so long ago, and he's actually passed on now. You could actually line up to go and pay your respects, and the line to visit him was all the way around the block. So he did so much for the city, even though he was corrupt. He did so much for the city. He has like a serious fan base in Rhode Island. So it's a really, really interesting show. And I, even though I've lived here for almost 11 years now, I still don't know so much. I don't know as much as I would like, I should say, about what used to go on. And so it's really, really interesting. So that's probably my favorite podcast right now.
That's an amazing show. I haven't jumped in yet to season two, which I think moves to Detroit, right?
It does. Yeah, I haven't jumped into season two yet either. But that is my go-to podcast if I ever have a long journey anywhere. Like, I love listening to it. I'm really addicted to it.
I love it.
Totally.
All right, Pete. What about you?
Well, it changes.
Yes,
like Nikki
course.
Said, you sort of fall in and out of relationship. My instinct is always to go to, oh, it's the relay shows or ATP or Dubai Friday or, it's the McElroy shows or whatever. But I have to go back to, if I could have dinner with any two podcasters right now, they would be Nigel Poor and Earlonne Woods of Ear Hustle. Ear Hustle is a podcast that tells the story episode by episode of what it's like to live in San Quentin State Penitentiary. And it is told with such vivid color and incredible just panache for storytelling. Like, they're so good at what they do. And it's a world that I am absolutely not a part of, right? I can't naturally put myself there. And because Earlonne is an inmate at San Quentin, and Nigel is she's a wonderful visual artist that has just become a podcaster because of her interest in volunteering at San Quentin. They have come together and created something I think that is really special. And so they just dropped season three. The first couple of episodes of season three have dropped, and I can't, it's one of those that I listen to multiple times because I'm so excited to share it with other people. Lock them in the car,
yep.
Hashtag consent podcasting, but lock them in the car and make them listen to Ear Hustle. It's one of those, it's one of those podcasts that I'm like proud to listen to, that it just, it is definitely not empty calories for me.
I love that. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with empty calorie podcasting whatsoever, that escapism, that enjoyability. But there's also something about having a podcast in your life that lets you learn something new or learn something more about yourself or allow you to open a window into a world that you maybe never would have experienced in the past. That's really, I love it.
Can I throw in a bonus pick and question?
Absolutely.
Related to empty calorie podcasting?
Absolutely.
Have you guys listened to, you listen to the McElroy brothers, any of the McElroy podcasts? My Brother and Me, Adventure Zone, anything?
I have listened to a live episode at PodCon.
Okay.
And a couple...
We were probably sitting in the audience together.
Yes, we were. Actually, at PodCon is where this show came into being.
I think I heard that story.
Yeah,
which is
it's
so
almost
fantastic.
a year now. But other than that, I haven't been able to get into other episodes. audience
well, that's,
don't
that's
hate
totally
me.
Fair. No, that's totally fair. It took me many tries to get into My Brother, My Brother and Me, and then I started at the beginning, and I too have fallen into the void of McElroy Brothers. I do adore them, but they have one podcast in particular that I find it just tickles me, and it's called The McElroy Brothers Will Be in Trolls Too. And it's I don't know. It feels like it started as a dare. They just started this podcast, and it was a podcast documenting their heretofore unknown journey of how they would get cast in Trolls 2. They didn't know how to do it. They didn't know what they would do. They just started podcasting about it. And I'll be damned, they have been cast in Trolls 2.
No way!
You have to. I feel like I just totally spoiled the whole thing, but you have to listen to it from
so
the beginning.
Funny.
It is so funny. They go. They have an agent. They go with their agent, and their style is love it or hate it is what it is, but their style of comedy, trying to talk to their agents and the people who are supporting them to getting advice when they are coming at it with such a sort of lampooning the whole thing, and then they ultimately get cast in Trolls 2. It's like a joke in a joke wearing a hat on a hat. It's amazing.
That's incredible. Okay, see, that podcast I may be able to get into.
It's only six episodes. Like,
perfect.
You can't. It's not one that you're gonna get. You know,
it won't.
It's not gonna take
too
much time.
My cue too much. Yeah. Which coming back from vacation I have so many unlistened podcasts right now. It like doubled. It's very dangerous. I will be binge listening hardcore.
Your list must go up every time you record one of these episodes.
It does, and it's heartbreaking because I want to listen to all of the things, all of them, and there are not enough hours in the day, and so I have to be very choosy about. I have released the completionist in me, and so I am now learning that it's okay to delete them out of my queue. Or remove, like, I have a very select, I use Overcast, and I have different playlists, and I have my always listen to playlist that has, you know, Dubai Friday and Upgrade and a variety of shows that it doesn't matter. But those are the ones that I listen to. And then if I have extra time, or if I want something specific, so if I want a very, like, particular mind brain function, so whether it's, you know, lighthearted, happy ear candy, or if I want to learn something new or whatnot, then I can sit down and listen to those. But yeah, it's dangerous. This podcast is more dangerous than I expected.
It's totally okay to skip podcasts. Just know that podcasters cry every time you skip a podcast. I mean, it's okay if it works for you to make people cry. That's okay.
Thanks. All right.
Okay. You get to carry that.
Fairies die as well.
Last minute replacement for Pete here. We'll just kick you off this episode. Just kidding, because we're now to the last question.
I'm a bit nervous.
As you should be. All right. This is the hashtag FIYE bonus. That's FIYE bonus. Just kidding. It's FIYE. Bonus. I can't even do my own
fun
scream. So feel free to tweet if you would like any of my future guests to answer one of your questions. Tweet to me on Twitter with that hashtag. Again, link will be in the show notes for ease of use. But this time, the question comes from me. And the question is, what was the absolute best mistake you've ever made?
Gotta think long and hard about that one. This is the first thing that I can think of off the top of my head.
Perfect.
So I'm convinced that the second we end this interview, I'm just gonna think of 10 more way better ones. But I'm specifically thinking, I mean, I always hear in the world of entrepreneurship, like, you should meditate every day. And for the longest time, I just would kind of ignore that and be like, why? I don't get it. I don't have time, whatever. And anyway, about maybe a couple years ago, 3 years ago, I did a 30-day meditation challenge and it blissed me out. Suddenly the things that would really get on my nerves weren't getting on my nerves anymore. And I always tell the story of it's the middle of winter in Rhode Island, and so very icy and outside, and I had just made myself a cup of tea, and I'm going to my car. Actually, I was leaving my boyfriend's house. We live together now, just side note. And I was leaving his house with this cup of tea, and I slid on this chunk of ice, flew on my back. The tea went everywhere. The lid came off the tea. The tea splashed everywhere. I picked it up. I got in my car. I drove home. My dog had gone through the trash and trying to tell me, like, don't leave me alone that long again. Like, she was fine. She was sleeping. But she had left trash absolutely everywhere. It was so disgusting. And it was so weird. I was just like, okay, this is happening. You know, I fell over. I dropped my tea. And the dog went through the trash, and it was kind of fine. That's all I can think of right now. And I feel like when I hang up, I'll think of something way better. And I already know Pete has got something way better than me. Just setting you up now.
Okay. See, the implication of what you just said means that you think I make a lot of mistakes.
That's how I heard that.
No, actually, in my defense, I feel like you have a lot of really great stories. I can just tell you're the kind of person I would love to spend an entire day just asking you some of my questions and seeing what you tell me.
Well, you're very kind, and likewise. And I don't know if this counts as a great mistake, but when I left broadcasting, I left literally the country, and I hung up everything. I had been reading the newspaper, and there was a little thing in the news, little ad saying, hey, do you speak English? Would you like to teach it? You should move to Korea. And it was literally, I'm kind of putting my own words into it, but not really. Like, it was that sort of relaxed kind of a promotion. And I thought, I do not like this experience that I'm having in the newsroom. I think this is a good thing. And so within 30 days, I was taken to Daegu, South Korea, and I was teaching English. And as a part of that, they pay you in cash, like these big blocks of cash.
Oh, wow.
Like you're work for the mob. Like, you know, you get these yellow envelopes full of cash. And all the ATMs back then had like those cash counters that you'd see in the back rooms of a derby kind of a thing, you know, they're counting all your cash. And so I was at the ATM and somebody starts screaming at me from across the street, hey, are you an American? Are you an American? We need you. We need you. And it turns out he was a marketing guy for Hyundai, and the guy who normally works with them to talk to their Canadian counterparts at their marketing agency, who actually speaks English, was sick that day. And they literally picked me up off the street to walk down to their office and have this conversation about launching their new Hyundai sports car, the little two-seater sports car in Canada. And so all of this starts back from opening that newspaper where everybody said, you are a fool and a failure if you're leaving a career in broadcasting to move to Asia for nothing. Like, you have nothing there. You don't speak Korean, you idiot. What are you thinking? And there I am standing in an ATM, like counting my mob money. And that's how I got into marketing. That is literally how I ended up in public relations, was by way of acting as a de facto, like, and it was a terrible translation job because, again, this is an important point for those taking Cornell notes. I don't speak Korean. So they brought me in off the street to, quote, translate, which means I'm listening to the Canadian folks on the other end of the phone and using my hands wildly to describe and draw things like tires. This is a tire with an arrow pointing. You know, it was a ridiculous exchange, but that got me my first marketing gig.
And may I just say, I told you so. I did just think of one more story. I'll tell it very quickly.
Perfect. Bring it on.
So actually, I still can't top the career story, but another story I thought of just in terms of people looking at you and saying, what are you doing? You have lost your mind. I basically am one of those people, I like to stay in shape, but I hate to do it in any kind of a way that I might perceive as boring. And so I'm unlikely to drag myself to a gym and work out because yawn just can't even wrap my head around it. So years and years ago, I decided that I was going to try kickboxing, Muay Thai kickboxing. I'm like, yeah, you know, what could be the harm? And I actually...
Wait a minute, because I could actually answer that question. What could be the harm? Are you kidding?
Yes. Yeah, I guess I hadn't really thought that one through. I'm just thinking, you know, it's going to be...
That's not rhetorical when you're talking about kickboxing.
Well, so I actually grew to like it because it was the one sport that I'd ever done in my life where I actually was kind of good at it. I guess I was good at punching things. And so I got steadily better and better. And when I first moved to the States, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to continue this. And so you would do sparring and things like that. And actually, talk about the harm in kickboxing. I used to regularly injure myself in silly ways, like accidentally knock someone's elbow with my ankle, which really, really, really hurts. But it was kind of harmless sparring. So you weren't really like punching or kicking. You were just pretending to. And it kept me in really great shape. And I really enjoyed it. Anyway, so... you know, like with anything, sometimes it's good to have a goal in mind so that you're more motivated to keep going. And I was like, I need a goal around this. And so I committed to getting in the ring with another girl at a Muay Thai competition and having a proper fight. But there's no way to really prepare for that because, well, so the big day comes. And I remember seeing her across the room, and she was, I'm 5'4", she was probably at least 5'7", and I like lost my mind. I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? This is the thing that everyone, you know, was like, why are you doing this, Nikki? And I was like, I just feel like it's something I want to just try once. So I'm there on the day, like there's a crowd of people all waiting to watch the fight, and I'm like, what am I doing? So I remember, you know, the moment of truth, walking to the ring, getting into the ring, and my foot catches on the rope, and I just kind of stagger and stumble, and I hear people laugh in the audience, and I'm like, oh my gosh. Anyway, the fight starts, and I am not prepared. I'm not prepared because someone's actually hitting you as hard as they can, and suddenly I'm like, I fall against the ropes. She's wailing on me, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like what are you, like I didn't know what to do. I was a mess, and somehow managed to find my feet. Anyway, somehow it did go three rounds, very, very short, like, well, I say short, but not short when you're actually in it, 3 minute rounds. And by the third round, she was getting so tired. Her hands were by her waist. And you're supposed to, of course, keep your hands up at all times, protecting your face. And so I'd kind of bop and get a right on the nose. This sounds awful, I know. And my trainer in the ring kept shouting at me, like, move forward, because I was kind of hesitating. I don't think I was ready to, like, really hurt somebody. At one point, her eyes kind of rolled back in her head, and I feel like I maybe could have knocked her out, but it was just so awkward, right? So they asked her if she wanted to stop the fight, and she said no, and... I won the fight. It was something that I never, never, ever, ever imagined I'd do. It's something that I will never, ever, ever do ever again. I got like really bad whiplash and stuff like that. Oh, but yeah. The best part of the whole fight was, it's just a cool story, I guess, to tell. But the best part of the whole fight was afterwards in the women's bathroom. She's there with a cut nose. I have a cut lip. And she's like, oh, she said, I'm supposed to be going on a date tonight. She said, and I promised him I wouldn't have any marks on my face. And we laughed about it. And we were like the best of friends. It was like the most surreal experience. And yeah, I do remember people beforehand just saying, like, you don't need to do this. Like, what are you doing? But it just felt like something I wanted to do. And best mistake, I think. Yeah,
that is an amazing story. You totally win if it were a competition, and I can't wait for your new podcast, Nikki Groom's Fight Club. That's fantastic.
There we go. Well, that'll be very difficult to market because the first rule of Fight Club is you don't talk about Fight Club.
Very good point.
Oh man, both of those answers are phenomenal. Perfect.
I'm exhausted by that story.
I'm just talking about it.
My face hurts after that story.
Totally.
Wow. Well,
thank you. You're both very nice.
And I clearly don't like punch and kick people enough. I need to go, like, I'm going to start a fight with my dog.
I do still like, I live right in the middle of downtown Providence right now, which is, it's a pretty safe town. Like it's not bad, but sometimes at night I'm walking the dog and, usually my partner will do that instead. But sometimes I'm walking the dog at night and I get a little bit nervous. And then I think, Nikki, hello, I think you can defend yourself, but I haven't done it for so long now. I forget that I have that in me somewhere. I just hope that if I got myself into a bit of a tricky situation, that it would occur to me to use my skills.
Your skills, your ninja skills.
My ninja right, skills. Brilliant. Yes. Yes.
All right. So we have learned don't mess with Nikki and invite Pete to Korea. That sounds
yeah.
perfect. Always.
Pete can yes, speak yeah. sort of Korean.
No, yeah. I know what not to eat. Let's be clear.
Hey, there we go. That is the very, very important thing. As long as you know how to ask that, like figure that out and yeah. find out where the bathrooms are, you're set.
Should I eat this? Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Well, thank
my
you
my new podcast, shouldieatthis.com. Ooh, right.
Yes. Yeah. That's right. A good one.
Yeah. Better make that before this episode comes out before... because I'm sure the domain will be gone.
Yeah. They'll be selling it back to you.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, both of you. And thank you, audience, for listening to this episode of Friends in Your Ears. You can find us online at friendsinyourears.com or on Twitter. We are at Friends in Ears. You can find Nikki Groom at Nikki Groom on Twitter. And Pete Wright is at Pete Wright. And I am at Mrs. Soup. And of course, all links to pretty much everything we've talked about today will be in the show notes. Feel free to go through, read those in your podcast app of choice. Thank you again so much. And I hope you all have an amazing day.